This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Get ready to kick up some dirt and mud because it's time for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl. SDORC is here to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. So whether it's bikes, buggies, trucks, or trikes, San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio brings you the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles and protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. Because together, everyone achieves more. Now, here is your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome to SDORC Dirt Radio FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer.
Got Ed Stovin in the house, and Audrey is hanging out with the family. She's got a celebration of life. I had one yesterday. My high school buddy passed away, unfortunately. Boy, I could tell you stories. Anyway, Scooney Side by Side in El Cajon off Greenfield is the sponsor of this segment. They do UTV, side by side service, repair, insurance, work, upgrades, winches, lights. You name it, they do it. Ron had caught some kind of a bug, and he's on the way back. He's in Palm Springs trying to get back on his feet, and he'll be bringing his show back here pretty soon, but we wish him all the best, and we're glad to hear he's getting itchy. He wants to ride the Harley and barely swing a leg over it, but he'll eventually do it. All right, Ed, how you been?
Doing well. How about you, Dave?
I see you bought some cars, and you're just having yourself a gay old time. Good year, 2024.
Uh-huh. I bought an Xterra last week.
Yeah, what color?
It's kind of the light greenish gray.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know the color. So what do you got planned for today's show?
I want to talk about general plans for state vehicular recreation areas. I want to talk about California bills that have been introduced. I want to talk about the Chuckwalla proposed national monument out in the desert. And I want to talk about off-road vehicle grants.
Okay. Well, before we go there, do we have Desiree on the line? Let's go ahead and get her taken care of. She's getting all excited. I'm surprised you're not riding the Mint 400?
Leaving on Wednesday, so we're getting ready. Just raced yesterday and leaving on Wednesday for the Mint.
Are you nervous?
Yeah, a little nervous.
Should be. It's a big deal.
Couple shots of tequila and you'll be golden, girl.
All right. Yeah.
So you raced yesterday? Was that a prelim just to kind of stretch your legs and kind of make sure the bike's in good shape?
Yeah, I mean, I've done a lot to the bike. I got new air mousses in it so that I don't get a flat tire. So I'm kind of getting used to those still. Got new tires and a new exhaust pipe. So, you know, just trying to get used to some changes on the bike. But I'm also just committing to the District 37 series too. Mm-hmm. Just because I'm sponsored this year. So
yeah,
I need to race.
What race did you do yesterday?
The Glen Helen District or NGPC race.
Okay.
Awesome.
How great. How did it turn out? Or were you really there to win, or are you really more there to just get some more seat time?
So both. I mean, I'm racing in the women's expert class now, so I'm stepping up my game just racing with these people. So but I did eighth place.
Wow.
And so that I'm just happy with the way I rode. My bike ran fine. It ran great, and despite the conditions being muddy. So I was really happy with the way I rode.
Was that a Beta 300 you're on?
Yeah.
I've seen the pictures, and you could only see half the wheels because you were sitting in a mud rut.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was deep in some spots.
Eighth place? Jeez, I wonder what color you were when you got all done.
Pretty brown.
Yeah. So, hey, talk about your sponsors. Great sponsors. A unique sponsor, which means to me, if you ask the right people and provide the right product back, anybody can sponsor anybody. Who you got?
So, yeah, totally. I got sponsored by the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. I'm a journeyman wireman, and I thought that it'd be a good idea for them to sponsor a female dirt bike rider and to get their name out there, and they agreed. I wrote a whole proposal, and it turns out they thought it was a good idea too. So now I've got IBEW on board, my local 569, here in San Diego in Imperial County. And I've got the United Sparkies, which is the woman's aspect or whatever you want to call it of the IBEW. So it's the Women's Committee. There we go. That's the word I was looking for.
There you go.
Women's Committee of the IBEW. I've got American Laser Fab, who's been supporting the Fight for Rocket COLs and now the Dirt Rider Foundation for many years, as well as Competitive Metals. They've been a huge supporter of both myself and the Dirt Rider Foundation. The Iron Door has always been on board with me as far as cleanups go.
Mm-hmm.
And then new this year, Snap-on Tools.
Fantastic. You know, I mean, and, you know, and a lot of people don't realize the career that, you know, electrical and even welding, because that's kind of where you started. But, you know, the electrical industry is screaming for quality folks, and they do have a complete training. How long did your journeyman school go?
5 years. You're an apprentice for 5 years, and then you turn out, and you're getting wage increases every 6 months or whatever. So you start out as an apprentice making like 20, 22 bucks. I forgot what the starting wage is, but something like that. And then by the time you turn out, you know, you've had like several raises under your belt, and we're at like 53 bucks an hour as a journeyman wireman. And we're negotiating more this year. So yeah, it's a great career.
And you're just a young whippersnapper, so you got a long way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to tell you, folks, you know, I knew her when she was at KUSI, and you were the digital graphic artist, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Social media.
Yeah. Yep. And she was just all the social media when it was really fairly new. And she used to come in and tell me, I'm getting a motorcycle. I'm going to go racing. I go, really? You really are? Oh, yeah, yeah. But you kind of grew up. I mean, your whole family started in the desert. I mean, I think you were almost born out there, if my memory serves me right.
Yeah, it was my dad's hobby well before I was born. So he's built 3 sand rails. I have his most current one, the Chenoweth 2180 motor Volkswagen. So I grew up in that, and I still have that. And I grew up on a 3-wheeler, too. It was just until like 2005 or whatever when I started riding dirt bikes.
Wow. Is your dad still with us?
No, he passed away.
Damn. Because I was going to say a great event would have been for you two to go do the Nora. Because the Nora, when I emceed it, I can't tell you how many father daughters, you know, ran that route. Well, he's watching over you, so that's, you know, so you got to watch your P's and Q's.
Yeah.
All right. So next Wednesday, the Mint 400 in Mexico, correct? No.
Las Vegas.
All right.
Yeah.
So let's hope it's not windy.
You know, being in the United States. Yeah, well, it looks like it might be.
Is it 400 miles?
So no, not for the dirt bikes. It's just under for the dirt bikes.
So are you doing it by yourself, or do you have partners?
Nah, she's hardcore. No,
I'm doing it by myself.
Oh boy, that's
now Ed's a hard head. Ed rides
on a bike.
Ed would rather ride than walk. Okay, so you know he's into motorcycles. He'll just go out in the middle of the night and you know just ride. So he's kind of like you, but yeah, well, you also race, don't you, Ed?
I've done a lot of racing.
Yeah,
on motorcycles. Yeah.
Have you ever done it to Ironman?
I've only Ironmaned. I've never raced with a partner.
No kidding.
But I've never done really long races. The furthest ones I did were those Ducati Enduros. They were, I don't know, like 8 hours of
riding hard. What tip would you give Desi for this?
Oh, my God. Well, she got nitro mousses. That's a good one. Oh, boy. Is it not start too hot? Like, don't burn yourself out in the first hour. Because at the beginning of a race, you're really excited.
Oh, you're
and
adrenaline.
Everyone else is going fast. And you're like, okay, I got to go with everybody. And what happens is by hour 2 or 3, you're running out of juice, running out of steam, and the last part of the race is just brutal. So I like let some of the people get away from you with the idea that you're going to get them back later. It's also good for your bike.
Calm down.
But I think you've kind of figured that out, right?
I've raced Ironman a few times now.
Dust management is a big deal.
It's like terrible.
I used to have a piece of cotton cloth on my index finger of my left hand so I could wipe the dust off of my lens. on my goggle.
Don't you guys have tearaways?
Well, they don't work in dust. They work in mud, but not really in dust. They, actually, dust can get
they
in between,
get between
and it's
between
worse.
Each layer.
Oh, I got. Oh, really? Oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
All right. So
by the time you tear off the first one, the next one's equally dirty.
All right. So you're going out there. What's your bike number?
I-56 Ironman 56.
All right. So people, if you go out there and you see Desi go by, give her a shout out. If you can help her out any way, shape, or form, because she's always looking for sponsors. Because I got a sneaky feeling she's going to be doing this a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to do it again next year already.
Yeah, I know. You haven't even got there yet. What's what's your website? Or so how people can follow you.
BornDirtyMX.com is my website, and all my social media is at BornDirtyMX.
All right. Hey, it's so good to get back hooked up with you. I was thrilled when I heard you were calling in, and we wish you all the luck. Now, you're not going to probably believe this, but we don't know if it's going to work on this show, but on Racer Radio, 97% of the time, people that call in before a race win. I'm serious.
Is that what it is? Well, I'm glad I'm calling in now so that I can, because the mints this week. So,
hey, that's what I'm saying. So if you do win, then, or at least in top five, then I want you to call back next week.
Okay.
All right.
10-4.
All right. Have fun.
All right. Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We come back a whole lot more right here on STORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer.
The Answer.
Oh, sorry. Folks, hey, welcome back. You're listening to STORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Segment's brought to you by SNS Off-Road Magazine. If you're an off-roader, you have got to get the SNSORMAG.com website. Great information, all about the desert, all about buying and selling product, news. They've got books that you could read to help support the kids. I mean, Sherry and her husband just do such a phenomenal job. So check it out, SSORMAG.com. All right, Mr. Unorganization here, Dave Stahl. I completely forgot that Desi needs to talk to us about a cleanup coming around the corner. So besides the mint, which you could tell that was what I was the most excited about, what's up with the cleanup? What are you doing?
So March 23rd, we are going to do a desert cleanup out at the shooting range near the railroad tracks on BLM land at the end of Split Mountain Road. We drove by a couple of weekends ago, and it was really dirty, so we decided to partner with the BLM and put on our first desert cleanup as the Dirt Rider Foundation. So we're encouraging everybody to come out and help clean up, you know, our desert lands. And if you're a shooter especially, come help clean up that shooting range because it's looking pretty bad. So we're going to stage at the Iron Door. We're going to hold our raffle at the Iron Door. However, that morning, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, we're going to have speakers out at Fish Creek entrance. Mm-hmm. And they're going to give a safety talk. And then we're going to make sure that everybody stays safe. As far as it being a live range. So we're going to have volunteers that can, like, stand around and let everybody know that we're going to be having a cleanup downrange just so that we can keep everybody safe that day. But, yeah, if you can join us, we'd love to have you. And we're also always looking for sponsors.
Have you talked to Rich from My Gun Show?
I did. I called and left a message the other day.
Yeah, well, they're at the gun show today down in Mission Valley. So what I'm going to do, are you going to be around a phone, say, between 4 and 6 today?
Today? Yeah.
All right. So what I'll do is when I'll get a hold of Rich and see if and find a slot, then that way you can call in during the gun show and you can promote this as well, because I know there's a lot of gun owners out there that go to the range, and I'm sure they would love to, you know, come out and help clean up. So let me
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so just mark it on your little calendar, because you're absolutely right. And, you know, Ed and I, we talk about it all the time that, you know, we love our guns and we love the guys and girls that own them, but man, when you drag garbage out to shoot, you gotta take it with you. Once you poke holes in it, you got to take it with you, because BLM will only go so far. Then BLM will just say, you know what? It's not a range anymore.
Absolutely.
And once you lose it, tell me when's the last time we've lost something in the desert and got it back.
Never.
Yeah. See, and that's what people, in fact, Ed and I were talking about it before we went on air, that, you know, we gotta stay organized. We gotta cross our T's and dot our I's, pack it in, pack it out, because even the slightest negativity on off-roaders and shooters, the left uses it against us, and they use it to take away our off-road abilities. Can you imagine if somebody came to you and said that you guys can't go, you can't do the Mint 400 anymore? I
couldn't imagine.
No, but it could happen. I mean, because the left doesn't get it. Even though motorcycles racing is, what, a multi-million dollar industry, they just don't get it.
Mm-hmm. They don't care.
They don't.
Remember, we lost Barstow to Vegas? People fought tooth and nail for that. Yeah. We never could get it back.
Yeah, and once it's gone, it's gone. You know, and even if you were giving money back to charity or help it, it doesn't help. Once it's gone, it's gone. So what are some of the oddball things you've seen at the cleanups? Because I bet you've got that's probably where you get some of your metal art.
Yeah, right. No, it's propane cans. I mean, refrigerators, like everybody, anything.
Cars.
Anything, the trash. Yeah. Cars, they shoot up everything. And it's just getting ridiculous out there. So we wanted to make sure that we could, you know, jump in and take care of that before it gets too bad.
So do you have a contact, like a website or something that somebody can reach out to if they want to sign up and come out and be a volunteer and help out?
Absolutely. So we're dirtriderfoundation.org online, or website. And then, of course, our social media is Dirt Rider Foundation.
Okay. So, folks, we don't want to hear you complain. We want to hear you help. Because if you're complaining, you're not helping. So
please do something.
Yes. So just quit complaining. Get in your car. Pack a lunch. And go out and have fun with like-minded folks.
We're going to feed you lunch. We are going to feed you lunch. So just come out, you know, and help out for a couple of hours. Bring your guns and shoot afterwards. I don't know, you know.
Sure.
Like that's what this is all about. Like, we are here to clean up so that we don't lose our ability to shoot guns there.
Right. Exactly. And that was, what'd you say, March?
23rd.
March 23rd.
It's a Saturday.
Yep.
And where is it at again?
So we're gonna have two spots. If you don't know where we're gonna be, we're gonna stage at the Iron Door. We're gonna have a big canopy there that kind of directs people where to go, and then we're also gonna stage mainly right at the opening of Fish Creek is where the BLM's gonna be, and we're gonna have local authorities there to give a safety speech. We're gonna have a dumpster there. That's where the dumpster is gonna be located for all the trash.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the actual staging area for the cleanup.
So are you going to have, like, little tools for people to pick up trash and bags and things?
We will have bags. We don't have a lot of trash pickers.
So, okay, so bring your own.
Just supply burn. Yeah, if you have your own, that'd be great.
Yeah, or just bring your kids. They're real low to the ground. They're low to the ground. They could get all that garbage. Right?
I'm instilling good values in them, you know, to do this as they grow older, too.
Well, without a shadow of a doubt, you know, because if they don't learn to pick up after themselves, and nothing more rewarding than to go into an area that's trashed, and then when you leave it, it looks pristine, or at least 10 times better than it did before you left.
Well, at the very least, instill this value in them so that when they leave, you know, they at least clean up their trash, and they're not the ones that are leaving this trash. You know, just let them know that they need to be cognizant of their area at all times and leave it better than you found it. And that's just what we're trying to instill in people, you know, like, don't leave your crap there.
Yeah. Simple. Pack it in, pack it out. It's probably, you know, I don't know why we don't have t-shirts made up. Just pack, you know, everybody that's an off-roader should have a t-shirt that just says, pack it in, pack it out.
That's a good idea, Dave.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Just get a black and white t-shirt, black t-shirt, white letters, pack it in, pack it out. And everybody that has something to do with the off-road community should wear that shirt on a regular basis, and maybe we could sell sponsorships on the back or on the sleeves or something. But you know, I went and bought a couple of shirts. All it says is vote. V-O-T-E. Because, again, don't complain. If you want change, vote. But that's another story.
Yeah, you gotta do something about it.
Yeah, you got to do something about it. So it sounds like a pretty good event. How often do you guys do this?
Well, this is our first event as a Dirt Rider Foundation. So, as you know, we were Fight for Rocket TOLs before. And then I got into my apprenticeship, and things kind of tapered off for a minute. So now we're back, and now we're a full, nonprofit organization.
Excellent.
So if sponsors actually want like a write-off receipt letter, we can actually issue them that as well. But yeah, just to try to encourage sponsors, and now we're a full-fledged nonprofit. So we've grown.
Wow, that's
our first event.
How many people are in your group, would you say?
Well, we have 5 board members currently. We need to discuss a membership option. But that's, we're so new that we're still in the beginning stages and just trying to get back out there and do something good for the desert.
That's fantastic. All right. But,
Dave?
Well, I'm mumbling because we've got a guy online that wants to ask a question. I don't normally open phone lines, but Brendan, it's your responsibility. If you think this guy's cool, let her rip, Tater Chip. All right, who we got on the line?
Oh, morning. I'm David. And, you're probably getting slammed with the same storm that we're getting. And I'm wondering, a lot of off-road vehicles can leave hellish ruts.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if her program will, teach people how to clean up after themselves, prevent the ruts from turning into whole streams.
It rains so seldom in the desert that it's not really a problem. I've been out in the desert so many times.
Well, and the BLM would definitely bring it to our attention if it was.
Like in the desert, ruts are never a problem. In the national forests, in
another
the mountains,
story.
That's a problem. And the forests will close roads when they believe that there's an issue with vehicles creating ruts. That's actually a well-known thing, and a lot of forests are currently closed right now because of the threat of ruts due to the rainfall that we've had.
Right.
So it depends on the terrain, the location that we're talking about.
Yeah, and as far as a cleanup is one thing. I don't know if you've been out to the gun range and seen all the trash that's out there, but when you're looking at a rut, you almost have to have a road grader or some type of heavy equipment to alleviate that. But then, like Ed says, the desert, not so much. The forest, they'll just close it. Just close it. It's just, there's nothing you can do. If you're going to drive a Jeep out in the mountains and you're in the mud, you're going to get ruts. Now, will the weather eventually alleviate those ruts? Hard to say.
A Corva director, Bruce Witcher, has the key to all the gates in the Los Padres National Forest.
Mm-hmm.
And he's responsible for opening and closing the gates based on the weather.
Wow.
So he's very responsible for that.
I don't know if you get on YouTube much, but there are a number of videos about how fast the Sahara Desert turned into a desert.
Yeah.
Apparently it was green for centuries, and it just took about 100 years. And, if you think about America, we started having the Dust Bowl days about 90 years ago.
Yeah.
And, massive storms like we're having right now is probably creating a lot of topsoil loss.
Are you saying close the deserts?
Well, I'm saying, clean up after yourself. There are ways that, I don't know if you know what a berm is. Just
oh, God,
small
yeah.
dam.
I love berms.
At the end of the day, if you could create some gutters, it'll side shift it over. And
Hey. Sounds like a project. You should start a business. All right, we got to take a break. It's bottom of the hour. Thank you very much for calling in, man. I appreciate it. Folks, you're listening to STORC Dirt Radio FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome back. You're listening to STORC Dirt Radio FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Segment's brought to you by Ed Hansen's Muffler. Well, I tell you what, if you need exhaust work on just about anything that has an exhaust system on it, you can't beat Ed Hansen's Muffler. 619-698-7030. You can also go to HansenMuffler@gmail.com. And when you go by, tell them, hey, thanks for sponsoring STORC Dirt Radio. 3916 North Barcelona Street, Revely in lovely Spring Valley. That's Ed Hansen's Muffler. All right, Ed, I see you have an itinerary.
I've got my agenda here, and let's get into it. So general plans. So every National Forest, Bureau of Land Management, and State Vehicular Recreation Area operates under a general plan. And it's like a cookbook that tells you what you can and can't do in the area. And they get up, they get made at the beginning, and then they get upgraded every 20, 30, 40 years. And so three state vehicular recreation areas are getting new general plans right now. Carnegie, Hungry Valley, and Ocotillo Wells. So Hungry Valley, they just released the draft plan. They call it Environmental Impact Report. So they just released it. It's 127 pages, and I read the whole thing. And I'm really pleased to say that this plan is very good for off-roading. Like there's nothing toxic in the plan. There's no close this, close that, restrict this. Everything is positive. I'm really pleased.
That's a first.
I'm really pleased that they're being this positive. So a couple of things in the plan. First of all, Carnegie, it's about 1,500 acres, and it's midway between Modesto and San Francisco. And it's in an open area. And it mainly caters to motorcycles, but ATVs, side-by-sides, and four-wheel drives can go there. There's a four-wheel drive challenge area, and then there's a trail network. One of the things it's famous for is these hill climbs. People on motorcycles and other vehicles love to climb hills, and they have these big, prominent, steep, tall hills, and they actually have a national hill climb competition there. And you know what's funny is at the end of the season, they're required to carry the dirt back up the hill.
Really?
It makes me insane. So their tires are
removing
the dirt,
out.
and the dirt's going down. So they have to use heavy equipment, and they have to carry the dirt back up the hill and pack it down for the next. It makes me insane. So
yeah, but just imagine if no one ever did that, how deep those ruts would get after a while.
Yeah, I mean I don't.
And there are some areas. Just, there are some areas, you know, especially with four wheel drive vehicles that, you know, when they try to crawl up the side of a, you know, and it's super rutted out.
It gets bad. Yeah.
It's more of a competition. The more rutted out it is, the tougher it is.
And it gets harder and harder.
Yeah. So.
Do you know the drop off? I think it's has other names. Out in Anza Borrego, there's a very steep hill.
Yeah.
And like years ago, I motorcycled it. We went down it and we rode back up it.
Right.
It's steep and it's difficult, but it's relatively straightforward.
Yeah.
So now, you know, the vehicles that don't have positive traction, mm-hmm. one tire spins mm-hmm. and the other front, like the opposite tires. So it's full of ruts. Like,
oh, I know.
Not like one long skinny rut,
no,
but
no.
a deep hole. And then
another deep hole to the other side.
Right.
Then on that side.
It's way harder.
I did a 2023 Chevy Silverado ZR2 out there.
Really?
And we went down it and then went down and, you know, looped it and then came back and had to climb up it.
And you were able to climb up
yeah,
it,
yeah.
That's an amazing vehicle that can go up that.
It was. And you know what? It was, you know, I mean, you weren't.
No, you got to creep.
It
you need
just
traction.
Crawled. That truck crawled right up.
Was it stock?
Yeah, bone stock.
What truck was that?
The Chevy ZR2 4x4.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Tremor, I think it was called.
That's really impressive. That's a very difficult hill. You know, they have a steel post at the top that you put your winch to.
If you have to.
But if that thing can just drive up it, that's an amazing vehicle.
I know. I was flabbergasted. Then they said, you want to do it again? I go, no, that's fine. I did
one
it once.
Time. You made it.
I was perfectly okay. Oh. And I was by myself. You know, I had ground guides, you know, to tell you not to drive over. You know, they mm-hmm. kind of helped you make
like
sure
put
you
put your tire in the right place.
Yeah, yeah. Otherwise, I could see you going upside down.
And it could fit through the squeeze?
Yeah. Barely.
Like with a half inch.
Barely.
On the other side.
Barely.
Dave, that's pretty hardcore.
Yeah, it was really hardcore. I mean, like, and that's what they do. You know, they'll take, that's why I say, you know, they make us do things with vehicles the general public would never do.
So in the plan for Carnegie, they have some goals and guidelines. So here's the goal. State parks will maintain, improve, or expand visitor area connectivity, practice areas, and riding opportunities for all off-highway vehicle recreationalists. That's in the plan. Wow. That is amazing. Wow. I am so happy to see that.
I wonder why they're doing this. Why is? I mean, I'm always skeptical.
This is like the polar opposite of what's going on at Oceano Dunes. So Oceano Dunes, it's the same group. It's the same management people. It's the same, right? They're both state vehicular recreation areas managed by the Off-Highway Vehicle Division of State Parks, right? They're the same thing. And this is pure good.
How?
I read all these pages, and they are required to talk about the birds and the noise and the dust and the water. Like, they have every kind of resource you can imagine, archaeological. And they talk about all that. Then they get to recreation, and they're like, okay, we're going to develop a new single-track motorcycle trail with turnouts.
What? Next to,
okay. And we want to improve the visitor experience and help reduce traffic on the main road. The existing special event day use area north of the existing motocross track is underutilized. State Parks will consider developing a portion of or the entire area into an ATV track and or observe trials motorbike track or other type of off-highway vehicle practice facility.
Hmm.
Another guideline, develop a flat and oval kids mini bike track on the east end of the area by the campground. So now people camping, the parents can be in their camper and they can watch their little kids who want to just go around in a circle, right? I don't know if you've ever been to where the like kids practice.
Yeah, but I'm...
They're happy going around in a... So they want to do this next to the camping area.
Why am I totally shocked?
This is great. The track will improve safety by redirecting children away from riding among motorhomes, trailers, etc. Okay. Guideline 1.4. Finish rehabilitating the area south of Franciscan OHV Loop Trail, the area that was damaged by a fire in 2015, into a sustainable off-highway vehicle trail network for advanced riders. So the area was closed because of the fire. They want to reopen it for advanced riders. So they have a kids area. Now they want to balance that with a...
I know they wouldn't do this, but wouldn't it be nice to get them on our show and thank them?
I will make an effort.
Say, hey, I just want you to know, you know, we talk about the good, we talk about the bad. You know, we're right down the middle of the road, and I think what you guys are doing is phenomenal, and we'd like to give you some accolades online.
So last Friday, I was on a call, on a Zoom call, but... our lobbyist got introduced to the people in charge of this department. So it was kind of a formal meeting in Sacramento that Amy Granite from Corva went. And I didn't go because they made the meeting inside of the 14 days of the Southwest airfares. So instead of $175 round trip, it would be $500. I'm like, I really wanted to go. I hired the lobbyist, Mark Smith. I hired him. I got the organizations to go for it. We have him. So this was our day.
So he went.
He's meeting Sarah Miggins, the deputy director of the division, and Colin McGlashan, who's the chief of the, like, he's head of law enforcement. So they went up there and we talked about, you know, problems, issues, what are we going to work on? And our lobbyist, when he gets talking, you just go for him. Like, he becomes the guy. Mm-hmm. If he was running for office, he gets my vote.
Right.
So impressive when he starts.
You
got
to get him to call in sometime.
I'll be happy to.
I'm sure he would.
You know, that's a great idea. I should get him. I think he'll call in, and he does a great job on the phone.
Once a month, one segment. Just one segment once a month. And if he did it every single month, and because you're retired, we could do a live to tape during the week, so he doesn't have to take away from his family. You know, you call my conference line, he calls the conference line, you run the interview, and we give him 10 minutes, and then I send it to Brandon on Sunday, and boom, it's out.
That would be really great. That would be
fun. I'm going to bug the snot out of you for that, because he needs to, I mean, we're paying him, he needs to give back with a monthly report.
So our old lobbyist, Kathy, she was kind of shy to do this.
Yeah, I know. I tried.
I wanted her to, but how hard do you push when they're doing a great job for you for what you pay them to do?
Well, now you're paying the guy.
So, yeah, we're paying him. And
more than you paid her.
Well, that's a different story. Well, I don't want to break in it, but we're paying the guy.
So,
but he has the personality where he'll be, okay, I'll come on and talk.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, if you do it during the week where it doesn't affect his time off, you know, it's no, I mean, he's on the clock.
Exactly.
He's on the clock. So just give us 10 minutes of your time.
So we're not paying him that much now, but next year we're going to pay him a lot more.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You're on the clock. We're your employer.
We'll work it out when a good time.
Right.
So we were at Carnegie. State parks may enhance or develop other trails, practice areas, and riding opportunities for motorized recreationalists of all skill levels and as allowed in the visitor experience areas. Also, state parks will develop 4 campground host sites. So a campground host, somebody who gets to stay there and they keep an eye on the place. They're not official law enforcement, but they can call law enforcement if something's going wrong. So they want to make 4 sites. So they're doing just one good thing after another. I'm so happy about it. Right. We'll see if I can get one of those people from the plan to call in, or maybe Sarah.
Okay, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we got one more segment. And you're going to have to stuff 2 pounds of salami in a 1 pound bag.
I can do it.
I know. FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Folks, hey, welcome back. You are listening to SDORC Dirt Radio. FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right. Hey, this segment is brought to you by our good friends, Wayne Miller Mobile Tire Service in Santee. But guess what? They do more than mobile tire service. They now do complete automotive service. They do oil changes, tune-ups, tire rotations, alignments, brakes, shocks, suspension, transmission. They just do it all. Wayne Miller Tire. Give them a call, 619-596-2800. 619-596-2800. Thank them if you go in for sponsoring, SDORC Dirt Radio. We surely do appreciate it, and we appreciate that you use them for your automotive needs. Got Ed Stovin in the house. Audrey has got some personal issues she's dealing with today, and so we've just been having a great time. And Ed's actually, for the first time, and I don't know how many years we've been doing this show, but he brought some good news. You are not someone that brings good news. No offense.
So the guy who did this before me for SDRC was Roy Denner, and we called him Doomsday Denner. He'd come in and he'd just tell us all these bad things. This is going to get
closed. I can't believe this group is the same group that's going after Oceana Dunes. That right there.
The same people. You know what it means? And I don't think the general public understands this. But the people who are managing Oceana Dunes do not have it out for Oceana Dunes. They want the place to be an off-road park. They get pressure from other places, from inside of government. So government is big. So the air pollution people, the species people, the resources people.
The bushes people.
The other levels of government, like the county, the Fed, like all these different people are putting tremendous pressure on them, and they're doing the best they can to try to balance between satisfying all these agencies and these other people and helping off-roading. So no one's really going after Carnegie. Remember the problems we had with the expansion land,
right?
That the state bought the land next to it 24 years ago with the idea to expand it. Now most people don't know that there was a mine in that area. There was mining there for a long time in the early 20th century. So people saying, oh, it's pristine and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so we finally lost that land. It was transferred to state parks to be not off-road park, but just to be a general park. So once we lost that, they kind of stopped picking on Carnegie. They won that little battle, that sizable battle. They won that battle. And so State Parks is doing what they really want to do, is make it a good off-road experience.
Okay. All right. So you got a whole handful
of
bills.
I got other stuff.
All right. Well,
so
you got 10
we talked
minutes.
About our lobbyist. So our lobbyist, we had a meeting last week and we got introduced. I had a meeting with him last month and he said, okay, what kind of bills are you guys looking for? And I explained to him we want bills that have to do with transportation, mm-hmm. have to do with resources, have to do with parks. So thousands of bills get introduced each year. And within those, I got a list of, I don't know, maybe 25 bills.
Okay.
And I went through them, and here's a few bills that may affect us. So AB 1778, Class 2 e-bikes. This bill will make it so that no one under 16 can ride them, and you have to wear a helmet. So Class 2, what does that mean? So there's three classes. Class 1 is pedal assist. Mm-hmm. It's an electric bike, and you have to pedal, and you get a little bit more. Class 2 is pedal assist or a throttle, and you got more speed, mm-hmm. I think up to 20 miles an hour.
Right.
And then Class 3 is unlimited.
Unlimited, right.
I think actually 28 maybe in Class
2. I was going to say, I think it's 28, 25 to 28 miles.
I think it's 28 in Class 2. So now 28 is a little bit, Class 2 is more restricted if this bill passes. Now this bill, this next bill, Dave, I want your opinion on this because I'm not sure what to think. AB 2392, no motorcycle helmet on the road will be required if you're wearing a turban or a patka. Yes, I'm pointing to my head and moving my hand in a circle. If your religion says you have to wear a turban, you can ride a motorcycle with your turban and not have to wear a helmet.
No.
I don't know.
Put your helmet on. Put your helmet on, and then put your turban around the helmet.
That's a good idea, Dave. There's a market there.
Yes.
Helmets with a built-in turban.
That's right. I mean, what's going to happen if somebody crashes and all they're wearing is a turban? And I'm not religious. I'm not talking about that. And they crack their head.
Can meet their maker that much sooner.
Yeah. And they crack their head and they die. What are they going to do? What's the family going to do? They're going to sue. They're going to sue. No. Helmet. Helmet, helmet, helmet. That's safety.
Like a lot of people, I believe that wearing a helmet is my own personal responsibility. True. I never ride without a helmet.
Right.
Before the helmet law, it came in about 1988, I think. I had a street bike. I never rode without a helmet,
mm-hmm.
but some people don't want to have to wear a helmet. And
I just don't like being told, but but if I have a choice, I will always wear a helmet.
So I think we're on the same page.
Totally. But
it's a bill that will
is that going to be a DOT turban? Is it going to have to go through the Simpson crash test?
It's interesting, and I'm not even going to weigh in on this. I'm just going
to
watch.
Yeah, let's move to the next one. Yeah.
But I am going to contact my friend in the American Motorcycle Association and ask him what they think of it.
And talk to Bell. Call Bell up and say, what are you have you guys coming out with a turban yet?
Do you sponsor any turban-wearing
Yeah, and is
riders?
It DOT approved? Give me a break.
Oh, my God. Okay. So there's a weird one with very little information. It's AB 3147. We'll create the California Trails Conservancy. And that's all it says. And I don't understand.
What is it?
And I looked up the bill, and that's all it says. So I have to keep an eye on it. I don't know what it's going to do. I'm just going to watch.
Yeah, you got to watch
that. So we're like, at this stage, we're just like, we're going to watch these bills. So last year, we called it the red sticker bill, SB 708. It's still alive. So what happened is it was held in assembly resources mm-hmm. committee. So what that means when a bill is held, that means the chair of the committee chooses not to bring it up for a vote.
Right.
So it's just held
closed. It's just idle.
So the bill didn't die, but it didn't move.
Right.
So the chair of that committee has been replaced. So what happens is a bill goes through committees, and at the end it passes everything and it goes to the governor. So this is the second to the last committee where it got held. So the next year, our legislature goes in 2-year cycles,
mm-hmm.
right? So you run for office every other year for assembly and Senate.
Right.
So this is the second year of the 2-year cycle. So a bill that gets held in the first year can get held over to the second year. And that's what's happening with 708. So this bill can get taken up at that same committee.
Mm-hmm.
And with the new chair, it may get voted on and it may move along.
Mm-hmm.
So what it does is it has state parks issue a registration sticker for that motorcycle. This is for racing motorcycles that have more emissions than CARB allows for general use. I like it. It doesn't do a lot for us. It does a little bit. What does it do? It allows them, makes it easier to insure. It makes it easier for law enforcement. It makes it easier to get a loan.
They're not taking it away. They're not taking the bike away, and they're not making...
They're not making it so we can go on public land with them.
Exactly.
That's the big thing. And we can transport it.
Right.
Right. So if you transport a motorcycle with no registration, you get pulled over. They want
you're
to
done.
See you got a problem.
Right. So and if it doesn't have registration, you can't insure it.
And that's... And this is Brian Jones' bill. So Brian Jones, our friend, the East San Diego County State Senator. By the way, this is his last year. I'm very sad about that.
Right.
I don't know who's going for it. Okay, SB 903 makes it harder to use perfluoroalkyl or polyfluoroalkyl substances. It makes it harder to use those. It's like they're trying to clean up. Well, that stuff resists heat, oil, stains, grease, and water. And what I found interesting is that it's opposed by ROVA, Recreational Off-Highway Vehicle Association.
Okay.
I think it's weird.
Totally.
So they oppose it. It's probably this material is used in the making of vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not allowed to be there, it's going to be harder to have good quality vehicles.
Right.
So I get that. So I'm going to be watching that. Senator Allen... SB 1332 would authorize the Secretary of the Natural Resources Agency to accept donations and contributions from public and private entities for maintaining land owned by Wildlife Conservation Board, the Department of Parks and Recreation, that's us, or any state conservancy. I just feel like there's some funny business there, and I got to keep an eye on that.
Mm-hmm.
SB 1402, this bill would require all state agencies, departments, boards, offices, commissions, and conservancies to consider the 30-30 goal when adopting, revising, or establishing plans, policies, or regulations.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just another 30-30 crock of you-know-what.
Right, right.
Trying to
make anytime everybody... you bring up that 30-30, I just hair stands up in the back of my neck.
I just get so annoyed.
Okay, what's your next one? Because you got about
that's all
minute.
The bills I got.
Oh, that was good.
It's easy. I think I've
so how does the general public, I mean, is there anything that they need to be aware of? Do they need to get involved? Do they need to talk to their representatives?
It's so early, there's nothing
okay.
to do.
Well, that's good that you're bringing these up for us to know about, because every time you come on, you know, you can give us updates on it, and you got homework. You're going to bring our lobbyist on.
I'm excited to get him on the radio.
I can't wait. I can't wait.
And I'll be looking into the division of off-highway vehicles in the parks.
Right. And don't forget the cleanup, March 23rd.
We can thank for the wonderful Carnegie plan.
Right. Out at the Iron Door. Yeah, we got to get them on, too. All right. This is SDORC Dirt Radio FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl. The program that is working to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. To learn more about SDORC and how you can get involved, visit sdorc.org. That's sdorc.org. Join us next week at this same time for more of the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles while protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. This has been San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio on The Answer San Diego.